You know, you gotta take your hit. We have to take our hit sometime in life. When we've been, you know, off the center, we're gonna get hit. And when we get hit, however that may be, it's important to recognize it's because we've been off center. Lord knows I took hits in my life. So, you know, the more off center, the bigger the hit. But, you know, that represents a humility and a recognition that, you know, I made a problem for myself that I myself cannot fix. That's very humble and not lowly. It's high, because it's true. You know, there are problems we make for our body that we can't fix, or problems we make for our life, and we must get outside help. So it's a kind of self-love in its wisdom and its humility, in the best sense of the word, to admit, you know, I need your help. I can't do it. And I'm getting this big hit because I was really off. And now I want to be back on again. Well, that's important to be able to handle, you know, energy blow. An energy blow of basically handling someone's rage, you know. But, you know, how, you know, our performance on the outer depends on our development on the inner. Our capacity then to withstand or flow with, in a very Aikido type way, the blow, the shock of others' rage coming, very much depends on having made positive, good relationship with one's own rage and hatred and the volatile forces within. You know? The outer is the proving of the inner achievement. The world is the testing of the inner achievement. What's practiced in the mind is then proven or manifest in trial by relation to the outer. I mean, let's jump into it, right? Ross said that cancer, for those on the positive path, is the result generally, or always, or generally, the result of non-healed anger. Old anger that hasn't been moved into love and acceptance and understanding. Okay? Anger. Anger makes cancer. Or cancer is made by anger. Now, that doesn't discount environmentals. You know, if you live next to a nuclear plant or you live next to electrical, you know, voltage situation. But there's, you know, it's a relation to mind. So that's the main thing to think about. that's what would keep it away, is considering what anger I'm holding and how can I release it. That's the psychological or spiritual approach to making sure it doesn't come back. I mean, we all have anger. We all have sorrow. We all have fear. We all have blockages, all of them. And so it's actually hard to know who gets what. But honestly, you know, I don't know if you want, but it's important to understand the symbolism of the disease. You know, cancer is anger related, and that region of the body, you know, is second chakra and sexuality. So I think that, you know, Ra basically said that the renewal of self-love was key to dissolving cancer. And I assume it would be key to keeping it away again. Renewal of self-love. I think you think self-love is weakness or vanity. It's you know, there's the physical side and then there's, you know, the psychological, spiritual. And really, the physical is made by the mind. So you have to remember the mind if you want to keep this away. this is something that we really don't admit. I mean, nobody does really. Is that, you know, the body is made by the mind. So, I buy supplements and I like all that stuff too. But in the end, you can't buy love and you can't buy health. And you can't buy peace and you can't buy freedom and you can't buy joy. You can't buy any of it. It's all available by mind transformation. That's the only way. Yes, right, very true. Whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger if you use it that way, if you use it in balance. It's a matter of being balanced, though, you know? You teach yourself. Life is, the catalyst or the influence by which we teach ourselves, by which we transform ourselves. It's like irritant. You know, 3D space-time is the irritant, or the catalyst, or the dream, or dreamscape, by which we change ourselves. I mean, you know, again, the body is made by the mind. Ross said the body is a creature of the mind's creation. The body is a little, you know, is like our horse. It's like our pet, you know? Body is my horse. Carries me around 3D space-time. So be good to your horse, you know? Well, congratulations on what's really actually emotional spiritual detachment from the need to be heard, the need to correct the mistaken, and to be recognized for your understanding in an area where they don't have it. You know, what's very interesting is that, you know, the understanding and your desire are pure. You understand about health and body and creation of illness and a lot of things. They don't. And your desire is simply that they will be well and happy. No problem. But there's then, like we all have, really, an attachment to being heard, to being appreciated, to making a difference, you know, to sharing what we know, to being recognized for what we know, and to see them use the information we have to help themselves and make their life better. Nothing wrong with that, but it's an emotional attachment. And as we see, we can get into a lot of trouble without, if we don't check that desire at the door. So it's great training to be among the ignorant, the incompetent, the illogical, the self-contradictory, and the small-minded. It's extremely wonderful training to be with all those people, or one person who is all that. No, really, the spiritual path, the positive spiritual path, it requires some reversal of common view. The common view is, I want good friends, I want happy times, I want comfort and well-being, I want love and community, I want health and peace and quiet, I want virtue and goodness for all the time. No problem. But, please, we're living on Earth. So, we don't get all that, obviously, day after day. We have lots of conflict, disharmony, misunderstanding, you know, people who reject us, criticism, blame, anger around us, and, you know, ignorance and dot, dot, dot. Is from the common view, we're unhappy then. We don't have what we want. From the adept's view or the higher self view, it's wonderful catalyst for training. Wonderful training catalyst. But from the reversal of the common view, there's the sense of, you know, all this frustration is great training, because the frustration is made by me. You know, it's my problem if I have a problem with them. Why can't I be at ease with them in their ignorance and in their self-defeating patterns and in their arrogance rejecting my view? Why is that a problem for me? I'm not big enough, you know? I can't be at ease with that? Of course I can. So it's great training. Thus saith I. And so, but you're also, what we're also seeing is, you know, portrait of a 3D repeater. Portrait of a repeater. Which is self-contradictory patterns. I want happiness and well-being, but I'm not willing to listen to information that I don't know. I just prejudge it and reject it and continue on being ill. But I, you know, do that and believe that's the right way. Yeah, just, you know, don't be shy to see clearly. A lot of people are afraid to see clearly. I'm not even talking about speaking, just seeing, knowing. Well, it's great to see. Seeing is the basis of greater loving, you know. Seeing is loving. So see with your wisdom too. And then you don't have to, you know, don't manipulate your mind. People are really, it's really the love over wisdom folly or mistaken methodology of thinking, oh, I want to be good, so I'm going to think good always, and I'm going to do positive thinking, and I'm going to smile because that means I'm good, right? And I'm going to be friendly because it means I'm good, right? Not at all. You're already good. You don't have to try. You're good. Soul is good. God is good. Higher self is good. So your creation is good. It is good. You're good already. No matter what you do. Even the negatives are good. And that's a big problem for them. That's their problem. That's why they have to be mind controlled. Because they're naturally good. Soul is naturally kindly. It's a big, big problem for them. So they have to, you know, shut down fourth ray. So you're good. Fine. You don't want to hurt them. But it's very important to see people clearly, especially people who are arrogant, because they have there's an agenda in play, and the agenda is basically to control by force or by persuasion or by deceit or simply by their taking over the discussion. You know, the person who needs nothing is the one I respect. The one I respect is the one who asks for nothing and needs nothing and seeks not any gain at the physical level, social level, interpersonal level, emotional level. Those are the great heroes, the guys who have realized they have everything, so they need nothing material or social. They don't need relationship. They don't need stuff. They don't need they don't need you to agree. They don't need you to like them. They don't need anything. This is a joy. This is a real, you know, it's like there are two forms of happiness. There's the happiness of getting your desires fulfilled, and there's the happiness of being free of desire. The happiness of being free of desire is actually the greater, and it's not even truly a happiness, it's a joy. It's the joy of being free. That's what free means. What is free? Freedom, freedom. Moksha, liberation. Free from what? Free from ignorance. And freed from attachment to desire. At lower levels, there still are desires, and there's a desire to shine the solar light. But there's a freedom from need. Because there's the realization of total spiritual sufficiency. I am that I am. One is all and all is one.
One, meaning the little self, is all. The wave is the ocean. And all is one. The power of the ocean is in the wave. In each infinitesimal part of yourself resides the one infinite creator and all its power, said Ra. You know, Ra's a pretty good guy. You can go pretty far with him. Take that horse and ride it. You know? Why do we need 10 teachings? I don't need 10 teachings. I got one fine teaching. I like some others, like Buddhism and Tao, but I don't, you know, people go running in circles and they end up finding inferior or inadequate teachings, and then there's fun. Meanwhile, the golden sphere is right before you. So, take it. In each infinitesimal part of yourself resides the one infinite creator and all its power. So, look in the mirror, see the creator. Look at an object, see the creator. Look at another self, see the creator. This is heavy, actually, when you can do that. So you can look at them in their little mind and their anger and their little squirming. It's a kind of squirming. And that's the creator in that form of body and mind. Now that's, you know, high view, big view. And there's no need to, there's no lack of love in that. I'm available. You want good talk, I'm here. But if you're going to talk shit, I'm not available for it. And if you want to put a trip on me, I'm not available either. That's all. If you talk shit, I know you're talking shit. If you put a trip on me, I want to know, and I know you're putting a trip on me. That's all. That's just self-respect. And we don't owe them anything, in a way. But you owe it to yourself to continue your path. That's what you owe. And that includes being goodly, but not being a dupe. Don't be goodly dupe. You know? Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody has different interests. You may be interested in, you know, shamanism, paganism, Wicca, or nature, religion, or spirituality in ways that I'm not. Which is, you know, fine. It's all paths are one path. All true paths are one path. But they don't necessarily all understand the same things. And everybody should go their own way. But we really don't need to keep searching and searching. Because there's a lot available in certain sources, like Ra or Buddhism. So anyway, but it's certainly not a good idea to go from a really good partner to a lousy partner, because we're just restless. I think you have to or ought to very, very much take any blame, self-blame out of the picture. And the simple fact is, wow, I've got a lot of hate in my mind. Wow, I've got a lot of hate and anger inside. Okay, but that's not you. Those are elements of mine. And you're the one observing them. You're the one working with them, being with them, processing them, meeting them with love and understanding and trying to make your way through it. That's you. That you is not that anger. The anger is not you. You're the one working with it, right? That's pretty simple, isn't it? So now you don't have to blame yourself at all. But, of course, more and more come to understand, how is it that I took this on myself? That I developed such strong anger, hatred towards whoever? And if you get into the specificity of it, anger to men, anger to family, parents maybe, anger to the institutions of society, anger to God, who knows, or anger to the exist against myself, I hate to be here, I hate this world, I hate these people, whatever, I don't know. So the specificity of the direction of the anger will help understand its cause. Anger at parents could come from problems from the early family. Anger to men would be history, but it can also be past lives. Anger to the world is just looking at what's going on in the world. And also, the anger could be more intense because of the repression of many years. That's not you. I mean, you're not one way. You're the one who can be this way and that way. Not the way, you're not only the preferred personality that you wish. None of us are. You are you, which is much greater than you know, one particular attitude. And so it's not a problem to have a lot of anger and hate, because you don't want to stay stuck in it, of course, and you don't want to hurt people, and you are careful. So you're careful about your word and your action. And you don't want to hurt yourself, so you're careful about, you know, when you get too hard on yourself. The key, again, is, you know, to meet the blockage with love and understanding. That's same, you know, that's healing and balance. So, and it's good to spell it out for yourself. Anger at this group, anger at that group. Anger at this reality, anger at that phenomenon, at that situation, on and on and on. And, you know, the fact that it's very powerful, the fact that, you know, it comes and goes, the fact that it's crazy, you know, I look at an old woman in the street and I want to kick her in front of the truck. I mean, I've had thoughts like that. I want to do violence. It's not that I want it. It's actually the possibility of violence. It's the option that, you know, this situation with a very vulnerable person could be exploited to do massive violence. Now, that's true. And thinking it doesn't mean I'm evil, because I don't want it. I don't want to do it, and I don't do it. But I probably did in past lives. And I probably have, this is the these are the distortion leavings that the accelerated path produces. The distortion leavings are these fragmented thoughts, desires, images, emotions, impulses, patterns of thought and feeling that are not whole. They're not really clearly defined. Oh, there's an old lady sleeping. I could throw hot water in her face. Now, that's not nice. And I'm not happy if I have that thought. But if I have that thought, I don't blame. I see it. It has to be. It is only a distortion leaving. And it shows that the mind still has an attachment to the consequences of violence. Or mind still seeks something associated with the fulfillment of violent action. Which is fine. You know? Mind is the microcosm of the law of one. The mind contains all things. Hey, baby, it's really true. The mind really does contain all things. And every torturer is in us too. And every saint is in us too. Every glorified beatific saint. Not religious saint, but true saint. A true saint. Burning the seven lights brightly. Nothing to do with church. Nothing at all. The sanctification of total love light development. That's in us too. That's us too. Same thing as any rank murderer, criminal, violent, torturer, abuser. That's in us too. I am that. I am that I am. Right? Now, you have to have a very big sense of yourself to be able to accept all that. You have to suffer it. You simply have to suffer it, which means you need forbearance. The Buddha said this to the arhats, the guys who were finished, whose next stop was eighth density, because they were completely free of attachment, completely free of ignorance, believing in separation or believing the illusion of the senses and completely realizing, you know, the law of one and, you know, the infinity of all light. The teaching to them was forbearance, kshanti, nice word, which is related to the, you know, the shanti of yoga. Shanti means peace. There are different Sanskrit Pali forms. Really means peace, patience, forbearance with our suffering when we're in it. And that was not the suffering of creating distortion or of ignorance. It was actually for the arhats the suffering or pain. It wasn't really suffering, it was pain, discomfort associated with distortion leavings, with experiencing the remainder of past karma that wasn't fully, that wasn't actually extinguished by complete and perfect enlightenment, but just dissolved greatly, yet still has some signal, makes some effect, is felt in the conscious mind somewhat. So I think, you know, we have to expand our sense of what we are. And the law of one means that you are, we are all things. And that's not a theory, it's practice. That's truth, that's reality. And so when we find what's painful in deep mind, like anger, hate, and rage, and even a desire to do violence, we can see that that's just the part of the total being. And of course, we are responsible for having created it or tuned into it. I mean, of course, if you hadn't noticed, Nick, that kind of those patterns of anger, violence, is you know, we swim in it in the collective human consciousness of the last 10,000 years. At least, let's just say 4,000 years. The last 4,000 years have been lots of warfare. How can we not tap into it, tune into it, resonate with it somewhat? The violence warfare comes from hate. But it shows, you know, the rich emotionality of the collective consciousness of humanity. And so what do you expect? You know, you live in a world of people who don't know love, a world of people who are susceptible to being led to slaughtering each other. Generation after generation, globally, they're led and follow and comply and agree to slaughter each other, generation after generation. How do you think you'll feel living in a world of people like that? Right? So, it's understandable. And to some extent, we need shanti, or forbearance. Yes, it's not a regular 3D planet. So, we need to be patient. Yeah, well, I think, you know, don't sweat it. I mean, I'm very comfortable with my anger towards the position of attachment to it rather than, you know, there's the attachment of grasping and then there's the attachment of aversion. These are two forms of attachment. The three poisons, grasping, aversion, and ignorance, are three forms of attachment, all coming from ignorance. So there's fundamental ignorance, which is not realizing unity, you know, not living in the unconditional love that is intrinsic to the awareness of unity and you know, the one infinite creation as self. That self is the one infinite. A being of complete and perfect, you know, being the complete and whole and perfect as higher self. So not knowing that, not being aware of that, we have attachment. And the forms of attachment are also aversion, grasping, aversion, and ignorance. So fundamental ignorance leads to secondary ignorance, And it also leads to the other attachments of aversion and grasping. So what I love and cherish, I'm as attached to as what I hate and disdain. And so hatred and desirousness are both attachment, of course. And that's why Ross says, you know, for the completely balanced entity, no situation would have emotional charge. So we have to consider, we would have to consider, the nature of why we're attached to anger and aversion, attached to hatred. And there are many reasons. One is that it feels empowering. It's a second chakra, third chakra blockage of anger, rage, which is always interpersonal, by the way, or is related. But it also, you know, is rooted in self-anger. And so what's the secondary gain? What's the benefit? Why am I attached to it? Why is it that I keep my hatred? I dwell and frolic in my hatred. Why? Well, I like something. I like it somehow. It's empowering. It's strengthening. I don't feel weak. I don't feel victimized. It feels righteous. Who knows? Whatever. You know, or they really were unfair. They lied. They cheated. They broke promises. They screw up the world. Whatever. Or they were bad parents, or they were bad partner, or anything. But there's always the issue is the attachment to the distortion, the attachment to aversion, the attachment to grasping, or the underlying basis of the attachment, which manifests as grasping and aversion. Right, and you don't want the behavior of others. Right, and so anger would be a very natural aversion reaction to unwanted behavior of others, for sure. Now, the reality is they're just that way, and you can't change them because they don't want to change. So, the situation will not change. So, you're helpless or out of control, meaning you can't control them, you can't control it, they'll continue, and that's that. Now what? Well, you have two choices. One, go into anger and keep the anger. Two, go under the anger and feel what's under the anger, which is sadness and weakness and helplessness, powerlessness, and then a deeper frustration at that. Why am I in such a fucked up world with such messed up people who keep slaughtering each other or being unfair and unjust or racist or bigoted or narrow-minded or dot, dot, dot? Right? Why? Well, we chose it, and then it comes back to the big view. I'm responsible for putting myself in this situation. Now, it may be karmic necessity. You know, I was a lousy father in my past life, so I got a lousy father now. Or I was not a loving mother, and so now I have a mother who's not so loving. I chose non-loving parents so I could learn to be loving. Or we're simply living in this world. And, you know, that they made society the way it is, and they have the history as it is, and we didn't make it, and yet we chose to be part of this correctional institute. So when you take the big view with fair, I call it taking fair responsibility. You know, yes, indeed, I made this body. Yes, indeed, I chose this planet. Yes, indeed, I have my karma, and I must experience the consequences of it that have not been dissolved so far. Okay, that's the law. I bow to the law, the higher law, the law of cause and effect, karma, which is you chose to be on this world to do service and to, you know, develop your love and your strength more. It's great training here, if you haven't noticed. And then thus you are with these people who do what they do, which we cannot stop because they don't want to change. And that's that. So under that, that's what's under the anger. And it's much closer to peace. And it's very heartful. But it doesn't feel so so robust, you know? It doesn't feel, there's no big, strong feeling. There's a little bit of a collapsed feeling. And that's why people choose anger. Thus saith I. Yes, I think it's a matter of understanding right action. You know, Jesus did overturn the money changers' tables in the temple, right? So you cannot say he turned the other cheek. You cannot say he, acted like a little lamb. You cannot say that he didn't resist. He did resist. I mean, if that's the story, right? God knows what's the truth, but it's that story is consistent with his work or his consciousness. And that's resistance. That's not, taking it easy. Hey, okay, let's just go off into the desert, into the caves, while they, turn the temple into a place of human sacrifice and money deals. So it's the flexibility and the subtlety of right action per situation and per you. Your right action in the same situation is different than my right action in that situation. Because you do what is, what you can, and I do what I can. But I don't think that universal don't resist is the way either. Jesus didn't do it. And it doesn't mean, roll over and take it. So Ross said, defending the loved one that persists in fourth density. So that's could be called resistance. It's a matter of being clear what's possible and what's not. You cannot change the thrust of 98% 3D souls. You can't change that flow. You can be a little point of light in it and influence your little water flows and the people around you, but you can't, the rushing force of 98% 3D souls, you can't change. And you can't change your parents much unless, we can't change others unless they want to change. And the 98% is already, very clearly going towards repeating. And, this kind of messy 3D end. How messy, we don't know. Much seems to be much less messy than people have predicted. But in the end, I think the point is, we don't want to be stuck in anger. And we do need to accept what we don't like, that we cannot change in most cases. But there are changes. I mean, if you hate this thing, you could, if you hate America, you can leave America. If you hate those people, you can leave those people. So in some cases, you can make action for sure. And, it's like, somebody's playing loud music over the road, across the road. You can say something, you can say nothing. Resist not means what? Sit there and just make peace with the loud noise at 1 in the morning? You can do that if you can. Probably not easy, but you could try. The other way is to go over there and say something. And that might lead to, a shooting, or it might lead to them turning off the music. Recently, I did that here. To a neighbor, or to actually a business neighbor, a company nearby. And immediately they turned off the music, and it has never turned on again. Months and months and months of playing this stupid radio during the day that nobody's listening to, of course. But it's the background cacophony for their working. And after months and months of it on, and I went over and I was very grim-faced. And he complied. He's a young Chinese guy, and he was friendly, and he complied, and it's never been on again. To my enormous happiness, because now it's quiet. Right. So you see, the idea, don't resist anything, just accept everything, that's not right either. Yes. Yes. Certainly don't fight yourself. Better to be a violent man than to be internally conflicted in some way. You know, it's complicated. It's important not to undercut yourself, but particularly for us who are trying to be goodly or in harmony and truth. You're not bad, you know. You don't deserve self-punishment. You're not perfect. You make mistakes. I make mistakes. We miss signposts. We didn't do our best often. But, you know, okay. It's hard down here, you know. So part of that is more self-love. But then there's also the wisdom to know that there are options often. And, you know, you're being upset today doesn't mean you're going to be the same way tomorrow. And sometimes the weakest and the strongest follow close upon each other. It's very common. People have some kind of great happiness and then there's a great loss. Or there's a great experience of strength and then there's a massive catalyst and one collapses. It happens often. And partly, it's the purpose or one of the values of the experiencing of the strength and power, so that you can meet your own weakness better. I mean, we all have it, right? We all can be this and we can be that. We can be strong and we can be broken. Depends on what's happening. So it can happen then, in two ways. One is that there's a higher self programming for an experience, a clearer demonstration of our power, our empowerment. And then that is set up close to the time when there's a hard catalyst coming. And then that's also the case that an experience of greater electrification of body, mind, spirit, or greater charge handling, being able to carry greater power and charge, then releases a deeper level blockage, which then means we feel weak soon after. Right, part of the teaching or the faith is impermanence. In trying to secure our happiness, anicca or impermanence is the cause of a lot of suffering. We can't keep our happiness, or the happiness mood always changes, and objects come and go or fall apart. Meanwhile, the reality of anicca or impermanence is another support to help us keep going, because it also means that suffering experiences are impermanent too. You know, all things must pass. This too shall pass. And that's very, very important to realize. I think that as we become more spiritually awakened, we're more aware of the passage of time. And that's because we're moving towards all present, the experiencing of everything now in the present moment. To achieve that kind of moving towards the true simultaneity, as Ra said, higher self, right? Outside of linear time, non-dual awareness. As we approach that, we naturally become more aware of that this is just a moment in time. That the particulars of my mind right now and the particulars of this situation as it is now will change, absolutely and for sure. They will change, it will change, it will pass, it will morph and shift, and it'll be gone. And so take it easy. And so that's why the Buddha was teaching patient endurance, patient acceptance to the arhats who had finished everything, actually. But they were still in a body and experiencing some old karma. So it's a very important thing to see the present with a deeper understanding of the future that it's becoming, which is actually what it already is. The reality of the future is already present in the present, or is already here now in the present moment. It's just hidden, and it's latent or potential, but it's very much present in the current moment too. Just we are not aware of it. So I mean, I've become more aware of time and how the past and the future live now too. It's all empty, but it's relatively true. As relative as our, as the definition of our present moment experience is. We define, or we're experiencing something right now, which is really our mind, but it's empty, you can say, because it's not substantial. But the past and the future are here too. And that's more, it can begin with faith, but it should go to knowing. And it can bring some peace when we're suffering in the present, because there's a sense of this is just a moment in time, and it's morphing, and very soon it'll be over. This whole lifetime is like that. This whole incarnation on Earth, the moment it's over will be a dream. I mean, it's a dream now, but it'll be seen easily as a dream, because it's empty anyway. And what we're in now, we will not be here in tomorrow. Even our state of mind, even an hour, 3 hours from now, you'll be in a different place. And 3 hours from now is here too. Just we're not focused on it. It's here too. We're just not paying attention to it. So, and then again, it is common that after we open to more power, which is really card 11, strength. It's very much a sixth chakra activation that allows us to feel stronger in our being now. When that occurs, it's very natural that it stirs up old chakra blockage. And so something then comes along, some catalyst comes along, and we fall down, or we go back to some weakness. But that's okay. Because it's the reaction against the dislodged or arising distortion. The distortion is what comes from the chakra energy blockage. They're the same. So chakra energy blockage in the etheric, the system of chakras and nadis, is distortion or psychological conflict or complexity in the mind. It's the same. And strength precedes weakness, and weakness precedes strength. It's the yin yang, which those Chinese also know. So, and thank you again, everybody being here, and see you all next week. Okay, good night.